Crumb. Howard Day's recording, the final evening, part 2. This recording is from the evening of Saturday, June 12th, and is an annual tradition at Howard Day's. Listen as attendees read aloud their favorite poems authored by Robert E. Howard.
All right, now what we're going to do is just, it's open mic. If you have some Howard poetry with you, and you want to come up and read it, please do. I've got a poetry book, a Howard poetry book, that is available only here at the Robert E. Howard Museum. This is the volume that Paul Herman put together for the house, and it's got 100 Robert E. Howard poems in it. It's very nice.
There's bound to be one in there I can read.
Anybody else have a Howard poetry book? Would you like to come up? You want to come up? Ron, you've done this before.
Oh. I've done snuck up on you.
All
right. Well, why don't you go for it? Yeah, come on. Well, you got two guys on. All right. Once you see how easy it is to do, and all the accolades that you will receive, you want to, and multiple readings are desired to, or allowed to.
Desired or allowed? Both? Okay, I'm going to, this is from The Rime of Salem Town and Other Stories. I was at the foundational desk, and it's got some different stuff in it, and I found something that I thought was pretty cool. But before I read it, I want to give you a little background. It's called The Cells of the Colosseum, and it's written from the point of view of a man about ready to go out to his death. You know how they fought to the death in the Colosseum? And this is what's going through his mind at the time. The Cells of the Colosseum. Across the walls, a shadow falls. The dreary night drags on and on. The horses stamp within their stalls. I'll ride no more to meet the dawn. Beyond this wall, a sleeping Gaul mutters and tosses in his sleep. Before him, maybe I shall fall, or in his heart my blade drink deep. A silence falls along the halls, the lions mutter in the gloom. How time alone, the hours crawls like some great sluggish worm of doom. My heart beats fall, a striking maul, because my thews are hard and strong. Within the hour I must fall to meet the bloodlust of the throng. Along the halls a trumpet calls, the red arena glimmers nigh. Thor, let me mock these fools of Rome and show them how a Goth can die.
All right.
Tell them who I am and where I'm from while you're at it, because I didn't do it.
I'm going to say his name is Charlie Goodall, and he is from West Siempre, Wyoming.
How'd you know?
I've always been lucky that way.
All right.
So I am Brad Ellison of Austin and other parts unknown. Now, what I got here is one of my favorites on a subject near and dear to my heart, lycanthropy. Up John Kane. Up John Kane, the gray night's falling, the sun's sunk in blood and the fog comes crawling. From hillside to hillside the gray wolves are calling. Will you come, John Kane? What of the oath that you swore by the river where the black shadows lurk and the sun comes never, and a shape in shadows wags its grisly head forever? You swore by the blood crust that stained your dagger, by the haunted woods where the hoofed feet swagger, and under grisly burdens, misshapen creatures stagger. Up, John Kane, and cease your quaking. You have made the pact which has no breaking, and your brothers are eager their thirst to be slaking. Up, John Kane, why cringe there and cower? The pact was sealed with the dark blood flower. Glut now your feel in the werewolf's hour. Fear not the night nor the shadows that play there. Soundless and sure shall your bare feet stray there. Strong shall your teeth be to rend and to slay there. Up, John Kane, the thick night's falling. Up from the valleys the white fog's crawling. Your four-footed brothers from the hills are calling. Will you come, John Kane?
Check. I'm Jake from Marietta, Pennsylvania, and I'm going to be reading Swords Glimmered Up the Pass.
Everybody ready?
Swords glimmered up the pass, fringing the grim, dark mass. There was blood on the grass, red blood. But the flood, far below, lumbered on the east and the dawn. When all men are gone, shall not they hill and stream, as today gleam and dream? Forgetting forever in majesty still, that men climbed the hill or died on the river. High on the great black crags, like hags, brooding for death and slaughter, we waited, with the thirst of our blades unsated, and below us rippled the water. We too, you and I, last to die. At bay, there we stood, and the wind in our hair shook the iron-clawed brood of the black eagle's lair. They came in the flame of the thundering dawn, driven and drawn by the spat of their hate and the fate of their lust for the glimmering dust. They dreamed they could hold the traitor of gold, the breaker of thrust, and we laughed in the bend of a curse that our blades, they were the virgin of rust. Then from his bed the great sun clumbered red. His gleams lit up the lances and the banners of the foe. The cohorts clambered, sealing our doom beyond repealing. Behind our borders kneeling, he hurled out lead below. Many a bastard there of that dark band clutched with a nerveless hand the mocking air. Man after man, one by one, dropped in the eye of the sun to the crack of the ball, reeled from the somber cliff, grim and stiff, and the river below drank his fall. Two men, and we laughed, and we swore. In the fringer of the rifle smoke plume, two men, and we laughed at the roar of a whole army bringing our doom, and our rifles stammered and yammered, carving the air with red laces, till our powder was burned their faces, and as up to our muzzles they clambered, you rose and you jeered in the beard of our foes. You hurled gold, and some of them clutched it with screams, and some in the clutching grew cold, and you roared to the horde, "Here's the price of hell's thunder!" And the leap of your sword rent a bosom asunder. I swung up the stock of my empty gun, and the crash and the shock broke the brains out of one. Then smoke veiled the sun, and blood, cliff, and rock. Reeking red carpet we made as we laid, with the crash of my gun and the slash of your blade. Bullets jerked at us, knives stung, sword points dirked at us. Gun stocks swung, like reddened leopards we sprung, and they forced us back to the lip of the pass that over the river hung. We were blackened with powder, red with blood. Ever louder we heard the flood. Your blade was a shard on a battered hilt. Your grip slipped on the blood you spilt. From my rifle, the splintered stock was rent, and the barrel was twisted, burst and bent. And the last charge came, fierce faces rose to go blank under our last great blows. Flame in our faces waved its sheet, and we felt the gulf yawn under our feet. Roaring our final oaths, we fell and crashed together into hell.
You like it?
I like it.
Anybody? Anybody? Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right.
Dwayne Todd from Evansville, Indiana, and I'm going to be reading a man. I tore a pine from the mountain crag. I plunged it into the sea, and I wrote my name across the stars for all of eternity. I rocked the world with my chariots. I shook the seas with my pride, and at last I looked at my name in the stars, and I laid me down and died. The morns gave birth to the surging years. Year rose on dying year. But ever above the flaming stars, my name stood blazing clear. And the people came and the people went in their fetters and chains and bars, saying, I wonder what unknown man those strange words wrote on the stars.
Thank you. I think you should win the award for the most uncomfortable hat. I'm Ed, I'm from Houston. But as I read The Black Harps in the Hills, I'll attempt to invoke the spirit of a Celtic warlord. Let Saxons sing of Saxon kings, red-faced swine with a greasy beard. Though my song the Gaelic broadsword sings, the peabrake skirls and the sporran swings. For mine is the blood of Irish kings that Saxon monarchs feared. The heather bends to a marching tune, the echoes shake to a marching tune, for the Gael has supped on a bitter bread and followed the ghosts to the mighty dead, and the blue blades gleam and the pikes burn bread in the rising of the moon. Norseman, reaver, or the red-haired Dane, Norman baron or English lord, each of them reeled to a reddened rain, drunken with fury and blind with pain, till the black fire spilled from the Gaelic brain and the steel from the broken sword. But ne'er the chiefs and deaths lay still, never the clans lay scattered and few. But a new face rose and a new voice roared, and a new hand gripped on the broken sword, and the fleeing clans were a charging horde, and the old hate burned anew. We have not won, and we have not lost, fire in Kerry and Fermanagh. We have broken the teeth in the Saxons' boast, though our dead have littered each heath and coast, and by God we will raise another host, Slánce Erin Gobrech.
Charles, Philadelphia, try to keep this as short as my nerves. Road Kings. When I was a fighting man, the kettle drums they beat, the people scattered gold dust before my horse's feet. But now I'm a great king, and the people hound my track, with poison in my wine cups and daggers at my back. Gleaming shell of outworn lie, fabled the right divine, you gained your crown by heritage, but blood was the price of mine. The throne that I won by blood and sweat by crom I will not sell, for promises of valleys filled with gold, or the threat of the halls of hell. What do I know of cultured ways, the gift, the craft, and the lie? I who was born in a naked land and bred in an open sky. The subtle tongue, the suffet's guile, they fall when the broadsword sings. Russian and die dogs, I was a man before I was a king.
Gosh, I don't have a voice for this. One of the things we did that you're going to see when you see the new collected poetry, we let Bob decide what goes first. Because Bob had a way of picking the things he thought was important, the things he put in collections, the ones that he thought were his best works. And we let him pick that stuff, just for a change of pace. So this is the first poem out of his Singer in the Shadows collection. I'm going to read this from the typescript. The original typescript, so it's a little, pardon me if I stumble a wee bit through this, but Zucala's Hour. High in his dim, ghost-haunted tower, Zucala sits alone. like a spider, spinning his webs of power upon his pale moon throne. All through the long star-spectral night, the tower knows no tread, save for sometimes the eerie light, swift footfalls of the dead. He does not sleep, and his eyes are deep as the seas of Fagare, and he moves his scepter but to sweep the dim stars out of the sky. And when the wind is out of the east, and the bent moon's silver gleam makes pale the stars like ghosts at feast, Zucala sits a dream. But when the wind is out of the north, and the gray light lifts for morn, Zucala harries his sending forth to know if a child be born. And the babe that is born in that mystic hour, in the time of the paling light, is cursed with the gift of Zucala's power, the gift of second sight. For an unseen web from the misty shores upon his soul is thrown, and though his brothers may number scores, that babe must walk alone. He shall walk in lands that are dim and gray, yet never shall he take fright, though ghosts shall whisper to him by day and walk at his side by night. His brothers may sing to the echoing sky, proud lords of the universe, but he shall see with an unveiled eye, for that is Zucala's curse. He shall see that the world is fog and dust, blind destiny all that rules. The gold that he gains shall be as rust, and his brothers empty fools. Ambition shall be but a broken goad, hollow shall be his mirth. The pathway of ghosts shall be his road, and the wastelands of the earth. Empty shall be the cheers of hosts, though he win to all heights of power. For he is destined to walk with ghosts that is born in Zucala's hour.
Jim Carter from Portland, Tennessee. I'm going to read Flaming Marble. I carved a woman out of marble when the walls of Athens echoed to my fame. And in the myrtle crown was shrined my name. I wrought with skill beyond all mortal kin. And into cold inhuman beauty then I breathed a touch of white and living flame. And from her pedestal she rose and came to snare the souls and rend the hearts of men. Without a soul, without a human heart, she shattered mortal love and mortal pride, and even I fell victim to my art. With bitter, joyless love, I took my bride. And still, with frozen hate that never dies, she sits and stares at me with icy eyes.
Can't see with my glasses on. So, this is the kissing of. Oh, my name is Lori Carter, and I'm from Portland, Tennessee, and I'm Jim's wife. They're over there. You're getting a family show now. The kissing of Sal Snoogoo. A bunch of the girls were whooping it up at the old lipstick saloon. And the kid at the piano player was twanging a jazzy tune, when out of the night, with perfume on his shirt and staycomb up on his hair, a young man staggered inside the door and meowed like a grizzly bear. He kicked the kid off the piano stool and sat him down to play. The piano yowled like an old tomcat to the tune of Hip Hooray. Says he, "Gal, you don't know me, but by gosh, I know you. And one of you is a classy dame. And that one is Sal Snoogoo." She squawked, and somebody turned out the lights. Something went smack in the dark. There was nothing for anybody to do but to stand still and hark. Somebody turned the lights on, and Sally was standing there. But the stranger wasn't. He was gone. And Sal was arranging her hair.
I'm Bill Cavalier. I'm from Michigan City, Indiana, and I'm going to read Recompense. This is probably my favorite Howard poem, and Cimmeria is probably my second. I have not heard lutes beckon me, nor the brazen bugles call, but once in the dim of a haunted lea, I heard the silence fall. I have not heard the regal drum, nor seen the flags unfurled, but I have watched the dragons come, fire-eyed across the world. I have not seen the horsemen fall before the hurtling host, but I have paced the silent hall, where each step waked a ghost. But I have not kissed the tiger feet of a strange-eyed golden god, but I have walked a city street where no man else had trod. I have not raised the canopies that shelter reveling kings, but I have fled from crimson eyes and black unearthly wings. I have not knelt outside the door to kiss a pallid queen, but I have seen a ghostly shore that no man else has seen. I have not seen the standards sweep from keep and castle wall, but I have seen a woman leap from a dragon's crimson stall. And I have heard strange surges boom that no man heard before, and seen a strange black city loom on a mystic night-black shore. And I have felt the sudden blow of a nameless wind's cold breath, and watched the grisly pilgrims that walk the roads of death. And I have seen black valleys gape, abysses in the gloom, and I have thought the deathless ape that guards the doors of doom. I have not seen the face of Pan, nor mocked the dryad's haste, but I have trailed a dark-eyed man across a windy waste. I have not died as men may die, nor sinned as men have sinned, but I have reached a misty sky upon a granite wind. Boy, that's a good one.
Scarlet and gold are the stars tonight. Scarlet and gold are the stars tonight. The river runs silver below the bridge. But the hour shall come when the dawn grows bright over the eastern ridge. Your face is dim, white flower of night, and your arms unheaded, the hours fall. But in the dawn makes hearts grow strange and light, and the far lands call. I'm Emma, and I'm from Utah.
Whoever comes out the front door reads the next poem.
Oh, is that the new rule?
Yeah.
I did threaten to come up again.
I need a book. Better find
it. Just real quick, flip over the one I need. Thank you very much. Alright, this is another one of my personal favorites from one of the few of his characters that Bob wrote poetry about. Good old Solomon Kane.
Oh, yeah.
The One Black Stain. It's about Sir Thomas Doughty, executed at St. Julian's Bay, 1578. Which, a good portion of this is a true story, which not a lot of people talk about, but it is a very interesting moment. They carried him out on the barren sand where the rebel captains died. Where the grim, gray-rotting gibbets stand, as Magellan reared them on the strand, and the gulls that haunt the lonesome land wail to the lonely tide. Drake faced them all like a lion at bay, with his lion head upflung. Dare ye my word of law defy to say that this traitor shall not die? And his captains dared not meet his eye, but each man held his tongue. Solomon Cain stood forth alone, grim man of a somber race. Worthy of death he may well be, but the court ye held was a mockery. Ye hid your spite in a travesty where justice hid her face. More of the man had ye been, on deck your sword to cleanly draw on, in forthright fury from its sheath, and openly cleave him to the teeth, rather than slink and hide beneath a hollow word of law. Hell rose in the eyes of Francis Drake. Puritan knave, swore he. Headsman, give him the axe instead. He shall strike off yon traitor's head. Solomon folded his arms and said, darkly and somberly, I am no slave for your butcher's work. Bind him with triple strands! Drake roared in wrath, and the men obeyed, hesitantly, as men afraid. But Cain moved not as they took his blade and pinioned his iron hands. They bent the doomed man to his knees, the man who was to die. They saw his lips in a strange smile bend. One last long look they saw him send at Drake, his judge, and his one-time friend, who dared not meet his eye. The axe flashed silver in the sun, a red arch slashed the sand. A voice cried out as the head fell clear and the watchers flinched in sudden fear, though 'twas but a seabird wheeling near above the lonely strand. This be every traitor's end, Drake cried, and yet again. Slowly his captains turned and went, and the admiral's stare was elsewhere bent than where cold scorn with anger blent in the eyes of Solomon Cain. Night fell on the crawling raves. The admiral's door was closed. Solomon lay in the stenching hole. His irons clashed as the ship rolled, and his guard, grown weary and overbold, laid down his pike and dozed. He woke with a hand at his corded throat that gripped him like a vise. Trembling, he yielded up the key, and the somber Puritan stood up free, his cold eyes gleaming murderously with the wrath that is slow to rise. Unseen to the admiral's cabin door went Solomon from the guard. Through the night and the silence of the ship, the guard's keen dagger in his grip, no man of the dull crew saw him slip in through the door unbarred. Drake at the table sat alone, his face sunk in his hands. He looked up as from sleeping, but his eyes were blank with weeping, as if he saw not creeping death's swiftly flowing sands. He reached for no hand, for gun or blade to halt the hand of Cain, nor even seemed to hear or see, lost in black mists of memory. Love turned to hate and treachery, and bitter, cankering pain. A moment Solomon Cain stood there, the dagger poised before, as a condor stoops above a bird, and Francis Drake spoke not nor stirred, and Cain went forth without a word, and closed the cabin door.
I'll see if my memory cells can do, if my memory cells are undusty enough for Reuben's Brethren, which is, it's subtitled with an unattributed quote, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. I'm Libby, I live in Greenville, Texas. Drain the cup while the ale is bright, brief truce to remorse and sorrow. I drink the health of my friend tonight, I may cut his throat tomorrow. Tonight, I fling a curse in the cup for the foe whose lines we sundered. I may ride in his ranks when the sun comes up and die for the flag I plundered. Kisses I drank in the blaze of noon at eve may be bitter as scorning, and I go in the light of a mocking moon to the woman I cursed this morning. For deep in my soul the old gods brood, and I come of a restless breed, and my heart is blown with each drifting mood as clouds blow over the mead.
You're going to do it.
I think it's your turn.
Okay.
It is my turn, huh?
Thanks for going between me and Mr. Dramatic. Anybody read A Man yet? That is my favorite. Short and sweet and powerful. Jason from Bernie, Texas. Rogue Blades Foundation. A Man. I tore a pine from the mountain crag, I plunged it into the sea, and I wrote my name across the stars for all of eternity. I rocked the world with my chariots, I shook the seas with my pride, and at last I looked at my name in the stars, and I laid me down and died. The morns gave birth to the surging years, year rose on dying year, but ever above in the flaming stars, my name stood blazing clear. And the people came, and the people went, with their fetters and chains and bars, saying, I wonder what unknown man those strange words wrote on the stars. Anyone want to read Alerts Me Out or Dark?
My restless lambs don't clutch at pens, don't clutch at life. Is that the one? Yeah, I don't remember my memory.
You ran that one.
Little poets sing of little things, small kings and puppet queens, lovers who kissed and then were made as one, and modest flowers waving in the sun. The mighty poets write in blood and tears and agony that flame-like bites and sears. They reach their mad blind hands into the night to plumb abysses dead to human sight, to drag from gulfs where lunacy lies curled, mad, monstrous nightmare shapes to blast the world.
Charlie, what about you? Charlie!
What?
Special request.
Okay.
Well, while you're waiting.
Dang it.
While you're waiting for somebody to do it. little filler here.
I don't need the mic, I'm loud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go right ahead. It'd give me a chance to make sure I know this one.
It's really chasing fun out, but okay.
No, I'm loud. Charlie Todd, Evansville, Indiana. Black seas. I have heard black seas booming in the night on dim, uncharted shores beneath the stars, with reefs that never gleam to mortal sight and winds that never hastened man-hewn scars. I waver on the threshold of my choice, O silver stars that gleam in oceans black, for through the night there sounds a nameless voice. Who ride the dusty seas, they come not back.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of sad, right? By the way, I'm Paul Herman from Houston. This is one of my favorites. I'm an old oil field guy and have done many a stupid thing in my life, and this poem really talks to me. The adventurer's mistress. The fogs of night fling banners red to cloak the fading sun, and I haste to the height of the mountain head, or somber valley silently spread, where murmur the ghosts of forgotten dead. Through the star-gleam glance, I go to dance with my mistress, the hooded one. Now as the night winds drone their dree from the hidden caves of the ghostly sea, and trees below wave dim in the veil, and shadows flit through the starlight pale. Weird night tunes peal as we weave and reel, like a maiden leal in her cavalier. But a grisly maid is a flitting shade that sways with me through the moonlit glade. And the boldest knight, like the poorest wight, would flee the sight with a ghastly fear. But on we dance with the nearly sky, and light we prance, old Death and I. Ah, Beldam Death, old Beldam Death, we've tripped it many a time. Our flying feet have weaved their beat from the line to the Arctic clime. I felt your kiss in the gulfs of this and the ooze of the tropic slime. Your barren bones gleam a dreary white. Through your lank ribs drone the winds of the night. An eerie glimmer gleams and lies in the empty sockets of your eyes. Bleached as white as the wings of a gull, and you wear a garland, a upon your skull of ferns that grow through the swampy fin, through the hidden bones of murdered men, of moss from the shore of the midnight sea where hulls of ships strew the silent lee. Now first with the left foot, then with the right, footing it featly through the night, soul to demon and fiend to man, we've danced this dance since time began. Around the world have flown our feet in a dizzy whirl, but our lips ne'er meet. 'Tis a grisly play, and I trip and sway, but her fleshless face is span away. And her skeleton hand is at my wrist, but I swerve aside with a dexter twist. As she seeks to press her grim caress upon my lips, and she hops and she skips and she leaps and she trips, with her bones a clank over barren stone and waving grass, and the night the wind drones as we meet and pass, and whirl a grin where the reeds grow rank. Through the witchlight's haze we tread our ways in a wild, fantastic death. Weird, fantastic wizard maze. Ah, Beldam Death. Her love is grim, and she leads to trails that are long and dim. She is aloof from love and hates, but she bears my taunts, and she waits. A single instant off my guard, a foot a slip on the pallid sward, a saddle girth loose and a rended sail, a hand that misses a wave-lashed rail, a reef that lifts neath the plunging strakes, a horse that falls or a sword that breaks. And the music stops. And the whirl is o'er. And my feet are still, for I dance no more. But I'll not grudge the game I trow as I feel her kiss on my fading brow. For I hold her dance as the only joy that thrills the ear and fails to cloy. I hold her measure above all treasure, and I only laugh as she bends to destroy. Left foot, right foot, we whirl and prance and spin away on our world-long dance.
Hopefully I can find this fairly
quickly. Oh, I got this.
Hello again, Ethan Sabatella from Saratoga Springs, New York. This one, I literally just picked up this collection today, but I'm loving the poetry in here so far. This one is unfinished, but it's titled Adventure. Adventure. I have followed your beck through the ages. I have sought no other lover. I have followed o'er land and sea, dim vale and your mystic moon mountains. I have heard Pan's pipes amid moon-dappled woodlands and have seen the satyrs frolicking with wood nymphs upon the fragrant swards while the night breezes murmured along among the leaves. I have watched your Latine feluccas aleap upon turquoise seas of morn. I have stood upon your snow-browed peaks and seen your lavender slopes of your brooding mountains stretching away to the amethyst skyline. I have heard the bird song of your arctic flows and have watched your northern lights flaring in godlike grandeur from the pole. I have sailed your seas. I have seen the boundless desert sands, all purple and sunset, spread to the brooding horizons. I have trod your nameless jungles, dared your turbid rivers, harked to the shadowy jungle where it brooded, bestial chin on midnight hand, like a sullen giant of darkness. I've seen your nameless mountains rise from the sea of tangled forest and stand like sightless, somber gods against the twilight. Adventure, I desire no other lover. I have followed your ways about the world, and yet again, all the ages that have clanged to your stride may have known my step. My feet are dusty with the must of antiquity. My hands clutch the stars from their sockets. Adventure, you are wondrous with mystic beauty. Your tresses snare the stars, and you are dusky-breasted as Egyptian dawns. Your eyes are soft twin planets of mystic allure, speaking of all the wonders of all the eons. Your voice is as soft, as melodious as the harp of Arion, and there runs in haunting refrain a thousand minor notes. The song of Circe is there, the whisper of the dawn winds.
One of the coolest things about Robert E. Howard's poetry, it's a lot like his prose, where he wrote in so many different genres. Just going through this little book here, here are some of the categories that he wrote in. Texas and the Old West, Wanderlust, Ancestral Echoes, Other Places, Ancient History, the Bible, Poems on Poetry, The Joy of Life, Humor, Love, the Times and World of Robert E. Howard, Self-Reflection, Boxing, Barbarism Ascendant, Heroic Verse, scary stuff and facing the end. But I'm going to read a boxing poem because they're borderline humorous, but I'm just going to read a boxing poem. I'm Bill Cavalier from Michigan City, by the way, as you may recall. This is called Fables for Little Folks. He was 6'4" and wide as a door, and he weighed 200 pounds. And he laughed as he spoke, "I'll cool that bloke. I'll flatten him in 2 rounds. Ah, the crowd, they cheered, but the crowd, they jeered when his foemen stepped into the ring. They hissed and jowled, and the giant scowled and rushed with a roundhouse swing. Yes, he came full tilt, but the beans were spilt, for the smaller man timed him fair and knocked him out with a left-hand clout, and the crowd gave him the air. So the moral is this: make your foeman miss and never lead with your right. But the first that you're to do is be sure that it's not Jack Dempsey you fight." Jack Dempsey was Howard's favorite boxer. And yeah, preaching to the choir, I know. All right.
Gonna take a cue from Mr. Ellison over here and try to throw a little bit more energy into this. One thing you see other people doing, you realize you may not be as good as you think you may be reading poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm Ron Allen from Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm gonna read, Solomon Kane is one of my favorite characters. And Return of Sir Richard Grenville. "One slept beneath the branches dim, cloaked in the crawling mist, and Sir Richard Grenville came to him and plucked him by the wrist. No night wind shook the forest deep where the shadows of doom were spread. Solomon Kane woke up from sleep and looked upon the dead. He spake in wonder, not in fear, 'How walks a man who died? Friend of old times, what do ye here, long fallen at my side?' 'Rise up, Sir Richard said, 'the hounds of doom are free. The slayers come to take your head to hang on the juju tree.' Swift feet press the jungle mud where the shadows are grim and stark, and naked men who pant for blood are racing through the dark. Solomon rose and bared his sword, and swift as tongue could tell, the dark spewed forth a pointed horde like the shadows out of hell. His pistols thundered in the night, and in that burst of flame, he saw red eyes with hate alight, and on the figures came. His sword was like a cobra's stroke, and death hummed in its tune. His arm was steel and knotted oak beneath the rising moon. But by him sang another sword, and a great form roared and thrust, and dropped like leaves the screaming horde to writhe in the bloody dust. Silent as death their charge had been, silent as night they fled, and on the trampled glade had seen only the torn dead. And Solomon turned with outstretched hand and halted suddenly, for no man stood with naked brand beneath the moonlit tree."
Solomon Kane's homecoming.
Yes, I did get nominated.
Absolutely. I've got one when we're ready to quit. I've got one.
All right. Mind if I borrow that one last time?
Right ahead.
All right.
So, I'm Brad Ellison, and I guess reading Solomon Kane poetry is my game. So here is Solomon Kane's homecoming. "The white gulls wheeled above the cliffs. The air was slashed with foam. The long tides moaned along the strand when Solomon Kane came home. He walked in silence, strange and dazed, through the little Devon town. His gaze like a ghost's come back to life, roamed up the streets and down. The people followed wonderingly to mark his spectral stare. and in the tavern silently they thronged about him there. He heard, as a man hears in a dream, the worn old rafters creak, and Solomon lifted his drinking jack and spoke as a ghost might speak. There sat Sir Richard Grenville once, in smoke and flame he passed, and we were 1 to 53, but we gave them blast for blast. From crimson dawn to crimson dawn we held the dawns at bay. The dead lay littered on our decks, our masts were shot away. We beat them back with broken blades till crimson ran the tide. Death thundered in the cannon smoke when Richard Grenville died. We should have blown her hull apart and sunk beneath the main. The people saw upon his wrists the scars of the racks of Spain. "Where's Bess?" said Solomon Kane. "Woe that I caused her tears. In the quiet churchyard by the sea she has slept these 7 years." The sea wind moaned at the window pane, and Solomon bowed his head. "Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and the fairest fade," he said. His eyes were mystical deep pools that drowned unearthly things, and Solomon lifted up his head and spoke of his wanderings. "Mine eyes have looked on sorcery in the dark and naked lands. Horror born of the jungle gloom and death on the pathless sands. And I have known a deathless queen and a city old as death, where towering pyramids of skulls her glory witnesseth. Her kiss was like an adder's fang with the sweetness Lilith had, and her red-eyed vassals howled for blood in that city of the mad. And I have slain a vampire shape that sucked a black king white, and I have roamed through grisly hills where dead men walked at night. And I have seen heads fall like fruit in the slaver's barracoon, and I have seen winged demons fly all naked in the moon. My feet are weary of wandering, and age comes on apace. I fain would dwell in Devon now, forever in my place." The howling of the ocean pack came whistling down the gale, and Solomon Kane threw up his head like a hound that sniffs a trail. Adown the wind like a running pack the hounds of the ocean bayed, and Solomon Kane rose up again and girt his Spanish blade. In his strange cold eyes a vagrant gleam grew wayward and blind and bright, and Solomon put the people by and went into the night. A wild moon rode the wild white clouds, the waves in white crests flowed, when Solomon Kane went forth again, and no man knew his road. They glimpsed him etched against the moon, where clouds on hilltop thinned. They heard an eerie echoed call that whistled down the wind.
Are we winding down? Jim Carter wants to read one more.
Yeah, Jim!
Yeah!
Yeah! Okay. This is called The Sands of Time. Slow sift the sands of time. The yellow leaves grow drifting down an old and bitter wind. Across the frozen moors, the hedges stand in tattered garments that the frost has thinned. A thousand phantoms plump my ragged sleeve, when ghosts of souls long into darkness thrust. Their pale lips tell lost dreams I thought mine own, and old sick longings smite my heart to dust. I may not even dream of jeweled dawns, nor sing with lips that have forgot to laugh. Aside the cloak of youth and limp a withered man upon a broken staff.
So do we wanna call a night and go get a cool drink? I got one more to read. I'm gonna read Samaria. All the way through in English.
All right.
Bill Cavalier, Michigan City, Indiana. This poem was written in Mission, Texas, February 1932, suggested by the memory of the hill country above Fredericksburg, as seen in the mist of a winter rain. I remember the dark woods, masking slopes of somber hills, the gray clouds' leadened everlasting arch, the dusky streams that flowed without a sound, and the lone winds that whispered down the passes. Vista on vista marching, hills on hills, slope beyond slope, each dark with sullen trees. Our gaunt land lay. So when a man climbed up a rugged peak and gazed, his shaded eye saw but the endless vista, hill on hill, slope beyond slope, each hooded like its brothers. It was a gloomy land that seemed to hold all winds and clouds and dreams that shun the sun, with bare boughs rattling in the lonesome winds, and the dark woodlands brooding over all, not even lightened by the rare dim sun, which made squat shadows out of men. They called it Samaria, land of darkness and deep night. It was so long ago and far away, I have forgot the very name men called me. The axe and the flint-tipped spear are like a dream, and hunts and wars are shadows. I recall only the stillness of that somber land, the clouds that piled forever on the hills, the dimness of the everlasting woods. Samaria, land of darkness and the night. O soul of mine, born out of shadowed hills, to clouds and winds and ghosts that shun the sun, how many deaths shall serve to break at last this heritage which wraps me in the gray apparel of ghosts? I search my heart and find Samaria, land of darkness and the night. Good night, everybody. That's such a classic poem. And the one line that always gets to me is, this heritage which wraps me in the gray apparel of ghosts. I mean, only Robert E. Howard could write a line like that. Just magnificent. I want to thank you all for coming to Howard Days this year. Thanks for coming to the poetry stuff. And there's plenty of drinks over there, and have some fun. Thank you very much. It's been a pretty good Howard Days, I think. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks to you all. And we'll see you next year, and it won't be as crazy. We hope.
It'll be crazier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy in a more
way. Yeah, thank you.